shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and, well, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Coming up this hour, we're going to have a discussion with Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Association, discussion with her on the Charles Manson's parole hearing, right? And the arguments, pro and con. I got to tell you, it just makes me laugh hearing people say arguments pro and con. I think it's the desperation of some of the news channels looking for how. Oh, yeah, what's the new take on Charles Manson up for parole again? I know. Let's have a debate. On whether he should be allowed to, you know, be released, or whether they should release Charles Manson. We'll have a debate, and that'll take up some good time. And so they find a guy who says, sure, yeah, I'll argue in favor of Charles Manson being released on parole, yeah. And they have themselves a stupid little debate, and that's what happens. Can't believe it. We got Ms. Dooley coming up here in a moment. 877-876-7445. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass affords you the opportunity to watch our live streaming video of the show each and every night on Phil TV and HD. And you can also, of course, listen to thousands of hours of archived material, over a decade's worth of full three-hour radio shows. The Phil Hendry Show, the greatest single radio show in the history of man on this planet. Yeah, I think we could make that argument. In any event, you will have the right to, as I say, thousands of hours of listening pleasure, our video cast, as well as our daily podcast, as well as a number of other things, video casts from the past, our old video shows, as well as interviews and TV pilots. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Join us and have a ball, baby. 877-876. Oh, and one other thing, our souvenir shop is wide open. The Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies, which have been on sale there for months now, going like hotcakes, baby. So pick one up. We've already sold out, I think, of a couple of sizes, although we are reordering. So get on over there and check out what we have for you at the Phil Hendry Shop. Now, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley is also president of the Parent Teacher Organization there, joining us online tonight to talk about the parole hearing of Charles Manson. And you heard what I just said, Bobby. And you're from California, right?
That's correct, Phil, yeah.
And I am as well, but I was, I don't know if you were around when these horrific crimes took place.
No, Phil, I was not. I was born a few years after that.
All right, well, I was, and it was terrifying for a lot of people, but more to the point, we saw firsthand the effect this man had on these young people who were a part of his so-called family, or whatever you want to call it, and the statements that he made, and the carnival that surrounded the trial, and the carving of swastikas into the foreheads, and calling people pigs, and even the counterculture, some people in the counterculture, one of them the wife of William Ayers, Bernadette, I forget her name.
Was it Bernadette Doran?
I don't know her name. There's two Bernadettes that were happening back in those days. One was Irish and the other's American. But in any event, saying that, hey, wow, they really put it on the pigs. What is your attitude on this?
Well, Phil, obviously I take it you don't believe that Charles Manson should be released.
No, I absolutely do not. No.
And, Phil, I don't know initially how I felt about it. There's a whole generation of us who, as I mentioned, we were not born when Charles Manson was around and the family was around and they were doing what they did. But I ask you to think of something, Phil, and the reason why I'm asking you is because I had our homeowners association meeting on Friday of last week, suspended for just a few minutes because in the middle of this meeting, I had a thought, and I wanted to I wanted to sort of run it by our membership. And we sort of stopped the meeting.
And Bobby, an announcement.
That's Steve's here, too.
Steve, Mr. Dooley, how you doing?
I made an announcement. I said, I want to suspend the meeting briefly here, if I could, because I want to ask a question. And I had everyone draw their chairs in a little bit closer, and I said, let me ask you something. And I said, this has to do with Charles Manson's hearing on parole. Let me ask you all a question. And everyone was waiting, and I said, who did Charles Manson kill? And I waited, and I waited.
Yeah, it's like, almost like we're telling a joke, beat.
Yeah, I gave it like three beats, two, three, and I saw there was really no answer. And one woman, I forget who it was, she said, well, you know, she said something really not very informed. She said, well, Squeaky Fromm killed someone. I don't know what she said. And I said, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. I think it was Marilyn, right?
Yeah, Marilyn Hudson.
I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. And Marilyn had gotten up, and I said, would you please sit down? I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. Now sit down. I said, the answer is Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. Now, I don't know, Phil, I'm of a younger generation. But the last time I checked, if you don't kill someone, you don't go to prison.
I know. We were talking about that.
So I said this.
Well,
now, hold on for a minute. Hold on. So I said this to the Homeowners Association meeting that we were having. I said, the last time I checked, when you don't kill anyone, you don't go to jail. And again, Steve, what happened?
Well, we gave it another beat.
Beat. All I saw were people's eyes going wide. And all I saw were people's mouths opening up. And everyone was essentially saying the same thing. Oh, my God. We didn't know. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. I said, Charles Manson didn't kill no one. Okay? And when you're in a situation like that, and I've been our Homeowners Association president now, Phil, for 11 years, you really get to know people. You get to know their weaknesses. You get to know their strengths. You get to know the people, and you know what they need when you are leading a Homeowners Association like ours, when you're leading a group meeting like this, you know who the people are that are going to understand what you're saying. You know the ones that maybe need some help. Marilyn was one of those. She had the lady who had gotten up and said, oh, Squeaky Fromm. And I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. Please sit down. And you don't want to talk to people that way. And you don't want to say to them, you're only hurting us. You're only harming us. Please sit down, and please don't open your mouth again. There's a wonderful line, Phil.
Can I say something?
Let me just finish this thought. There's a wonderful line at the end of the play 12 Angry Men that one of the boys was reading for high school, for high school class.
For like an English.
For English class. When one of the characters says to another, he says, sit down and don't open your mouth again. It's said at the very end.
I know the play, yeah, the teleplay.
What do you mean, the teleplay?
Well, it was a teleplay. It was written for television when you say the play, but I know it. I know the play, and it was in the film. E.G. Marshall says it to Ed Begley. He says, sit down and...
But it's not Ed Begley Jr.
No.
Ed Begley Jr.'s father is a very fine, fine actor. He says, sit down and don't open your mouth again.
Right. And that's what I said to Marilyn. I said, no, she didn't, Marilyn. Now sit down and don't you open your mouth again. What I said was this, though, and what got their attention and what opened their eyes and what I'm hoping to bring to your show tonight. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
I know.
Charles Manson was the leader of a family.
But can I make a comment?
I just want to finish this point.
I tell you what, well, I'll make the comment after the... the break, but we do have to break.
Let me just finish this point. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone, Phil.
Tex Watson.
Tex Watson did. Susan did. Krenwinkel did.
Right.
But Charles Manson did not.
So you are in favor of him being paroled?
It. I'm not going to say I am, and I'm not going to say that I'm not. It's food for thought. And that's what I said to our homeowners meeting. I said, food for thought. And people walked out of there. Their eyes were wide. I could tell they were still discussing it as they were leaving. And that's what you like to see from a meeting that you're leading, whether it is about the homeowners association and the issues that we face or these larger issues in life, Phil. When I said to them, who did Charles Manson kill? It really just blew their minds, to use a phrase. It really did. And people walked out of there wondering, my God, my God. Have we kept an innocent man locked up? I don't think we have.
Oh, well, that's nice to know.
Well, but Phil, do you understand the point that I'm making?
No, I do understand what you're saying. Let me take a break here. Bobby and Steve Dooley on with us here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here, and I'm not trying to talk behind Bobby's back. I just got to get going. About Charles Manson and his parole hearing. The question that was raised by CNN was a ridiculous, contrived question. Should he be paroled? Well, Bobby Dooley is on the line with us saying he didn't really kill anybody. Never mind the fact that he ordered these people to kill, that he assaulted Gary Hinman, that Charles Manson was as much a killer as Jim Jones or Adolf Hitler. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. You're the world famous Phil Hendry Show, live from the El Pacifico every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It is Bobby Dooley, a guest from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, on the line with us as we talk about Charles Manson and Charles Manson's parole hearing. This is to ascertain whether this man, Charles Manson, recognized as one of the most profoundly wicked individuals in the history of American criminality, whether this guy is going to be released on parole. And the latest news, by the way, a parole board is going to review psychological reports and statements of victims as it considers the case of mass murderer Charles Manson coming up on Wednesday. The board meets Wednesday morning for what will be Manson's 12th attempt at parole. My understanding is Manson is not going to be there. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. So you had this meeting with the homeowners, and you said to them in the middle of a homeowners meeting.
Yeah, right in the middle of our homeowners meeting.
What did you say?
Well, I said to them, because I had seen the news that morning, and I was really, I was just interested in the case, and I said to them, think about it. Charles Manson never really killed anyone. Well, you could have heard a pin drop. People's eyes, you know, sometimes homeowners association meetings can be very wearying, and the minutia can tend to really create a difficulty for the listener to keep their eyes open sometimes, you know. But all of a sudden, people's eyes widened. And,
well, and you're talking to people who are, you said, were not born?
A lot of them are my age or younger. A lot of them are older. But even the older ones looked at me and went, oh, my God. He didn't. And that's what people don't remember. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
I just based on that, I think they should have killed him.
I haven't made my mind up.
But you say, Mr. Dooley, he should be.
Yeah.
I haven't made my mind up yet.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call. I obviously have some very definite opinions about this, but I'll just take a phone call here. We have a gentleman on the line. Yes, sir, go ahead. I forget who this is. Robert or John? I forget. That's Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, it's Robert. Yeah. She is correct. Charles Manson didn't kill anyone. However, the people that died, the people who died wouldn't have died if not for Charles Manson.
What? I don't understand.
Obviously, you don't. If Charles, take Charles Manson out of the equation, these people wouldn't be dead.
Well, isn't that a little bit like saying, take Boo booze out of the equation, and people are not drunk drivers, and yet we don't haul Seagrams in front of a court of law and charge them with manslaughter.
It's obvious that the young lady on the phone needs mm-hmm. to do a little bit of homework. If she would,
mm-hmm.
yeah, she says uh-huh really well, mm-hmm. but she really mm-hmm. doesn't understand.
Phil, what do I understand?
Thanks for your time.
All right, sir.
Going nowhere. Bye-bye now.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And
well, obviously, that man...
Bobby made her point, though, with that man.
Obviously, that man was getting a little bit overwhelmed by the logic of what I'm saying, Phil. And,
no, I don't. I think he was really frustrated.
Well, that's pretty easy. I don't think he was frustrated, no. I think he was overwhelmed by the logic of what I said.
I think what happened to him, and it may be true of a lot of people, there's been so much talked about the Manson trial and about the Manson murders. And
well, even there, he called a Manson murder, he got guilty, but...
Right there, and Steve made a very good point. Why do you call it the Manson murders anyway? Can you tell me that?
I'm going to go back, Bobby, if you'll just listen to me for a second. I want to go back to what I was saying.
Yeah, but why is it called the Manson murders?
I'm going to go back to what I was saying. The gentleman was frustrated, I believe, because there has been so much that has been explained and talked about in this case. When you say, as you said, Bobby, that the liquor companies are not held responsible for drunk driving, you're right. A liquor company is not in and of itself a human being, although...
Well, wait a minute. Corporations aren't persons.
Yeah, corporations are persons, though.
Hold on. The other point is...
Well, what about that point?
Would you guys hold on and let me finish? The other point is that we recognize conspiracy to commit murder as a viable charge. We recognize that there's such a thing as the inducement to commit murder. And these people, such as Adolf Hitler, Jim Jones, what about them?
Well, Phil, I don't know about Adolf Hitler and Jim Jones. We're talking about Charles Manson. We're talking about... This guy, Charlie, if you want to call him that, or some people call him Charlie, I don't know.
I call him Charles Manson.
All right. He was a Svengali, yes. He was a man with a certain philosophy, yes. He was a man who had this wild and crazy idea of life, yes. And he had young people that lived with him.
Have you ever heard what Charlie said? He said, he shared his garbage dump with him, basically.
Yeah, he said that he shared his garbage dump with him, and what he means by that is...
By the way, I don't like... if you want to refer to him as Charlie, are you one of his family members?
Mr. Rainer, I don't find that funny. I'm a father.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, then why would you call him Charlie?
That's just the media.
It's a media reference. And
well, all right, well, fine. You know, but I...
Bill, if you could just hear me out. The point that I'm making is that Charles Manson had these kids that came to him... They listened to him, and then they went out and murdered four people. Wow. I mean, if I'm Charles Manson, I sit back and I go, boy.
Yeah, that's one for the books.
That's one for the books. You know, I'm sitting here, and I'm saying a lot of crazy things, and I'm sharing my garbage dump with them, and they come back one night, and they go, oh, hey, Charlie, guess what? We just murdered a movie star.
Wow. That would...
To me, Phil, that would be a game changer.
And what do you mean by a game changer? Let's just follow your logic, a game changer. If that's a game changer for Charles Manson, then why didn't he immediately get on the phone and call the Los Angeles County Police or Sheriff or...
Los Angeles County, Sheriff County Police.
We don't have county police. They have those in Georgia.
Yeah. I understand. I misspoke.
Yeah, we have county police for the South.
Yeah, they got county police down South.
I understand that. If this was what Charles Manson's attitude was, which is, wow, there's one for the books, then why didn't he pick the phone up and call the police and say, I have information concerning those murders that were committed that I think you need to know?
Charles, you have to understand what Charlie's... His attitude was this. I don't control anyone. They do their own thing, as they used to say in those days.
I let them do their thing.
And I don't control anyone. I'm sure when they came back and they said, hey, Charlie, guess what? We just murdered a movie star. I'm sure he went, what?
But he's not going to tell them what to do.
He's not controlling them.
Hold on. I'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take your phone calls on the other side of this. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, really? Oh. Jesus.
God, man.
I know. Lighten up.
Yeah, lighten up.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us here as we talk about this parole hearing. Charles Manson's on Wednesday. And I have to tell you, Ms. Dooley, I don't think that there is anybody that I know, and you've got to be the first, who would think that Charles Manson should be released on parole. Now, I understand your reasons for this. You say that Charles Manson has never killed anyone. You know that there's evidence, and it was testified to, and Charles Manson admitted it himself, that he viciously assaulted Gary Hinman before Gary Hinman was stabbed to death by the this man, Beausoleil, and I think Susan Atkins.
I know, Phil, I've gone over the record. I'm not saying that I'm an absolute expert on the record, but I've gone over the record.
Very clearly, the man's violent.
Very clearly, Charles Manson has had in his time dust-ups. And
dust-ups? I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he's a little guy. He's a small, wiry guy who obviously had to fight his way out of a lot of things in prison, in juvenile detention, in juvenile hall, and eventually as an adult. And now we know he, and I asked you this question before, you know.
You know, Phil, not to interrupt you, but you betrayed right there in that little moment that you were speaking, you sort of betrayed a lack of knowledge yourself because you were saying, well, he's violent and
Yeah, you didn't seem very clear.
You didn't seem clear. And
Charles Manson has a long prison record, juvenile detention record, a history of violence in prison, fights. He's existed on the outside as a man who has come from the culture of prison and prison life, carried weapons, carried guns, carried knives. I don't think it takes a stretch of the imagination to, you know, to figure out that this is a guy that has gotten by both on his wits and violently. Do you think that I'm wrong?
I'll tell you what I think. Charles Manson, and this is what I know, Charles Manson never killed anyone. And
what about Adolf Hitler?
That's dirty pool.
That is, yeah, that's what Steve's father calls dirty pool. That's not relevant. And
why is that not relevant? Why is it not relevant that the greatest mass murderer in the history of the world never killed anybody?
It's not relevant because we're not talking about Adolf Hitler and giving speeches.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler got up and gave speeches, everything.
We're not talking about a man that had the benefit of the pomp and circumstance of statehood, of flags, of flashy cars, of a flashy uniform, the adulation of billions. We're talking about a skinny little drifter.
Oh, come on. The psychological mechanism is the same. The Svengali complex, the ability to psychopathically lure.
But you know about him being what?
Are you saying that he was telepathic, or did you say he was?
I said psychopath, not telepath.
Because Charles Manson and a lot of them said had a way of luring and alluring you. And you, one of the things you have to be aware of, Bill, and this is something spoken. I'm speaking as a woman. Women know this, men don't. Charles Manson has a way of drawing women in. I can see it. Other women can see it. And unless you know that, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
What, are you telling me you're attracted to him?
I didn't say I was attracted to him. I can see the attraction. The attraction. But I didn't say I was.
My wife talked to him. My wife?
Steve, I told you, Steve, that I found him interesting.
Yeah, I know, but you talk about, like, you want to get nude.
I didn't say I wanted to get nude. I said I found him interesting. Interesting.
But that's not sex.
I didn't say anything about sex. I didn't say anything about taking my clothes off.
Well, you mentioned about underwear.
When I talked about my underwear, I was talking about if it ever came to that, yes, my underwear would have to come off. But
all right, you guys are talking among yourselves here, okay? Let's take a phone call.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, let's talk about sexuality.
I'm not sexually interested in Charles Manson so much as I can tell you, Steve, and you, Mr. Hendry, and any other man listening, that women understand the allure, of a Charles Manson.
Underwear.
Well, God, you're really hung up on the underwear thing.
All right, can we not talk among ourselves and we can get back to taking some phone calls? You know,
I'd be happy to.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hey, Mr. Hendry. How are you doing this evening? I'm enjoying your program, man. I wanted to...
I'm doing good, Jeff.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the lady about Charles Manson. I've done a great deal of reading on Charles Manson and a lot of, you know, what I've read about him.
Right.
And I really don't think you're saying things from a very informed position, if I could just say, ma'am. Because first of all, you got to understand, Charles Manson, okay, would you want him, I mean, the one point that I want to make, Mr. Henry, would you want to have Charles, if you think Charles Manson should be allowed to go out free of the prison, okay, on parole?
Yes.
Would you say to him, okay, yeah, you're free on parole, come down and stay at my house? Because let me tell you something, a lot of people that are just out of prison, they need to find a place to stay.
Okay, your phone broke up there. Say that again.
I didn't hear the last part.
I said a lot of people that are out of prison need to find a place to stay.
Are you asking me, is the young man asking me,
I'm just asking you if you think Charles Manson is allowed to be out of prison, if he should be
out on parole.
Yeah, out on parole.
Oh, all right. And you're asking me, would I have that man in my home?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that it's a fair question. I think it's a contrived question. I don't think there's any, in a million years, would there be any need for Charles Manson to...
Charles Manson's not going to make a beeline down to Western Estates, Butler.
Yeah, there's no... I don't think Charles Manson's going to make a beeline down to Western Estates and say, oh, let me knock on Bobby Dooley's door.
Well, I mean, you're on the radio right now talking up how you think that he ought to be allowed to come out. You know,
I didn't hear you.
I said you're on the radio right now talking about how he should be out on parole.
Yes, I do think, and I don't think I've really expressed an opinion.
I did. I think that. But
I think Mr. Dooley of the four of us here believes that Charles Manson should be out on parole.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you right now, from what I've read about Charles Manson, that's a suicide case. If you want Charles Manson to come to your house, you're on a suicide mission. You know.
I didn't say anything about Charles Manson coming to our home.
Well, I'm just telling you, but he'd be out and come sleep here.
Well, that's something we'd have to talk about as husband and wife.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're asking me...
Well, look, ma'am, if you think that he ought to be out on parole, Charles Manson ought to be out on parole after what he done, okay, and I know you say that he never killed anybody, which is sort of technically true, but like Mr. Henry was saying... Okay, you know, Hitler, guess what? Hitler didn't drop any gas pellets, okay? And Jim Jones didn't, last I checked, Jim Jones wasn't standing there saying, oh, make sure you follow the Kool-Aid recipe, you know, Ms. Dooley?
Yes, I'm listening to you, yes.
Okay, so why do you say then that
I think she does not accept the premise that the two things are similar.
I don't think that Adolf Hitler and Jim Jones, when Jim Jones killed Sharon Tate,
But Jim Jones didn't kill Sharon Tate. It was Charles Manson.
It was who?
Charles Manson. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yes. When Charles Manson killed Sharon Tate, first of all, he didn't kill Sharon Tate. Tex Watson and Susan Atkins and Patricia Winkle did because they had some idea.
Her name is Patricia Krenwinkel, by the way.
Patricia Winkle's name, yeah.
No, I said Patricia Winkle.
Patricia Krenwinkel is her name.
I'm sorry, Krenwinkel. When they killed whoever they killed, and I know they killed Busakowski or some name like that.
Wojciech Frykowski. You know, let's have a little respect for the people that died, okay?
Mr. Henry, I have nothing but respect.
Well, then saying Busakowski, his name is...
It's hard name, Mr. Henry. It's Polish. Oh, wow, man.
It's... Yes, well, no, my husband Steve is right.
No, it's not a hard name. It may be Polish, it's not a hard name. Wojciech Frykowski, that was the man's name. That man lost his life. That man fought for his life, viciously fought for his life. Took a long time to kill Mr. Frykowski because he kept fighting off his attackers, people laying into him over and over and over again.
God, well, toot toot.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
What are you talking about?
Is he being serious with that? The Marseillaise, the French national anthem?
Well, still, you're getting all dramatic about it.
It was very dramatic. It was four people getting butchered alive. It was very dramatic.
That's right, Mr. Henry. I think Mr. Henry's right.
No, I'm not talking to the hippie right now. I'm talking to you, Mr. Henry.
Fine, talk to me.
You got all dramatic, and you got all... You know, and he fought off his attack. And so Steve made a joke.
Not a place to make a joke. Not a place to make a joke. That man did fight for his life. And his name is Wojciech Frykowski. Or Frykowski, if I'm...
Oh, yeah, look, see, you're all carving it up.
I'm trying to get the man's name... I'm trying to give him the dignity of having his name pronounced right.
And what about this copy heiress, little rich girl?
The little rich girl? Do you know anything about these people that died?
I know that they were all rich. And
well, then you don't know half as much as you think. Abigail Folger was a woman who inherited a lot of money. She wanted to make a difference. This is a woman that volunteered to help inner-city kids. This is a woman that was out every day of her life working in some charity to help people who had nothing. She didn't have to go out and do any of that stuff. She wanted to make it. She wanted to be something more than a rich kid. She was out teaching people to read. She was out working at food banks.
You know, Mr. Henry, you're making my way.
You are trying to embarrass me. And my...
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I apologize. We're talking, should Charles Manson be paroled? Three guesses what my opinion is. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Forgive you.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, Bobby Dooley and Stephen Dooley, and I thank the young man for calling as we're talking about Charles Manson. Should Charles Manson be paroled from prison where he is currently in a special unit? It is a protective custody unit, if you will, or protective housing, because of the status, if you will, or the notoriety of Charles Manson. Here is Rodney. Rodney, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
All right. Well, what I was saying was, is being my face to very white paper, what I was saying to Charles Manson, but anything else is I've kept under wraps. Mm-hmm. And what I said under wraps is he said it's nothing kept under wraps. So what I was saying was, is when he stole from, what's his name? His name was, I think, Vic Morse or something like that. He stole from an elderly woman, and I said he's done very bad things to very bad people. Another thing
so
is...
So are you saying that Charles Manson had a man killed who had hurt an old lady?
He didn't hurt her. He just, he went up to her and he stole and didn't ever admit up to it. Well, another thing is, is this is no irrelevancy of anything of what the Charles Manson conversation, but Al Capone, a very well-known mobster, as a younger man, didn't lead on to violence or anything like that, but also led a very bad reputation of being a violent person. Okay. So what I was saying about Charles Manson.
Where do you come from, anyway, sir? Where do you come from?
My husband wants to know where you come from.
Well, it's the other side of England in Switzerland, and it's right.
All right, yes, sir.
2 miles.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So you're from the United Kingdom, okay?
Okay. That has nothing to do with.
Right, you're absolutely right. I just thought it was very interesting.
Well, anyway, what I was saying was, people that believe bad reputations is nothing compared to learning a lesson and being in captivity for a very long time. I do think, you know, after a while, if you were to be in captivity for a punishment of anything that you've done, that maybe you've learned your lesson after a while.
How about captivity?
I was in, and I know my husband can speak to this, Rodney, that Steve was up at the Dean Wheeler. This is a men's camp. I don't know if you're familiar with these, where they take men, and they go up, and they supposedly teach you how to reconnect with your masculinity, you know, this sort of tribal thing. And my husband Steve had gone up to this a couple of summers ago. It's run by a man named Dean Wheeler. Well, they were, speaking of captivity, they were not allowed to leave the compound. They were forced to work in clearing some sort of bamboo or something, Steve, right? They were forced to clear seagrass. And guess what else they had? They had those pits with the spikes at the bottom of them in case they tried to get out.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, what do they call those? Bungee pits.
They're called a bungee spike.
No, it's not bungee. That's bungee cord.
No, bungee spike.
It is bungee spike. What's back in the ancient countries, they used to have them for people who could get
a bungee spike.
Yeah, bungee spike. Yeah.
Are you trying to? What are you trying to tell me? They had bungee spikes at this resort?
Yeah, resort. It was a resort, but I couldn't get out. One guy we knew fell in a bungee spike. That's why I say about him.
Yeah, they lost track of one of the guys.
Oh, this is horse dung. I haven't heard anything about it.
You know, Mr. Hendry, what I think is interesting, and Rodney, this will be educational for you. Mr. Hendry simply says everything is, as he calls it, bull crap, if he just doesn't like it.
It's everybody has their own opinion, and every time I've done, we have 4 years of college, nobody likes their opinion to be proven wrong by anybody, so they always try to think of a different way to defend themselves.
I know.
In their political opinion.
That's exactly right.
Mr. Hendry and any other in opposition of anything.
There's a lot of stuff going on, and like this one lady they had who's.
We're getting way off the point here. You know, I mean, we were talking about Charles.
Talk about Charles Manson, all the stuff what he did.
I know, I understand it. Rodney, thank you very much, sir, for your perspective. I do appreciate your phone call. 877-876-PHIL, 877.
I didn't understand anything he said, and I think that it's very rude of you, Mr. Hendry, to put someone on the radio like that.
That guy's all talking like it's been all Smith.
That's pretty funny. Steve said, did you hear what he said?
Yeah, I heard what he said.
Steve said, it sounds like, you know, the guy's talking like he's an Oliver Twist. Didn't you say that, Steve?
Yeah, I did say that.
I heard him the first time. I heard him. The gentleman had a very thick Cockney accent. I understood him.
Well, I didn't understand a word he said, and I agreed with him.
Bobby agreed with him.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, is going to join us. Harvey was with us on Friday night talking about legal issues, and I think it's only right that we get him on the line right now in San Marino tonight to talk about this and this Charles Manson parole hearing that's coming up on Wednesday. Harvey, welcome to the program.
Well, good to be with you.
And tell me what Manson's chances are.
Well, as the saying goes, Manson's chances are slim to none, especially because he's not going to appear. he's not going to appear at the
at the parole hearing.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Bobby Dooley.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, excuse me.
At the parole hearing, Harvey.
I didn't know. You didn't tell me I was going to be on with them.
Well, I'm sorry, but we have a constitutional right.
Yeah, that's our constitutional. Yeah, I know all about your constitutional rights, okay? I just didn't know Mr. Hendry would have the colossal bad taste. Yeah! Ah!
Oh, my God.
Excuse me, but I've got a lung condition. I didn't know you'd have the colossal bad taste of putting me on the air with her.
And Harvey, I told you that you would be on the air tonight. I didn't say that I would not have you. Well, now we're at the end of the hour. If you can hang on.
Hang on to what?
Hang on to the phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do I get to come back, Mr. Hendry?
No.
You lousy.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.